Each first Sunday of the month this year, we have considered a facet of salvation. We started with the word salvation, meaning that Jesus delivered us from sin and death and preserved us unto righteousness and holiness. Then we talked about mercy, how God has shown us compassion and forgiveness so that because of Christ's redemption and our repentance, God has withheld his wrath from us for eternity. Redemption. We were bought with the precious blood of Christ and thereby set free from our bondage to sin. Propitiation. Because of Christ's redemptive work, God the Father is totally satisfied for eternity regarding man's sin, so that man has absolutely nothing that he must do to enjoy the mercy and salvation of God. Christ has done it all. Reconciliation. Because God has been propitiated, we are reconciled unto God, so that once again he can look upon sinful man with acceptance. Liberty. In salvation, we have been made totally free from all the consequences of sin. Justification. God has declared us to be righteous. Entirely on the basis of faith, which we exercise in place of the righteousness that we do not have and cannot obtain on our own, but was provided for us entirely by Jesus Christ himself. Regeneration. In regeneration, God brings to life dead, living people, causing their dead spirit to be born again and now alive unto God. And now we come to sanctification. Once the work of salvation has taken place within an individual, which work occurs in a single moment of time? You are not gradually saved. You are saved in a single moment of time. You are born again in a single moment of time. And once that happens, that individual is at that moment saved for all eternity and sanctified. This is initial sanctification. There is initial sanctification, and there is progressive sanctification, and there is ultimate sanctification. We'll look at all three. But regarding our salvation, when we are born again, in that very moment of time, God sanctifies us. Would you go to Acts chapter 26 and verses 16 through 18? The Apostle Paul is reflecting upon the time when he was born again, confronted on the road to Damascus with the Savior himself. And he conveys to us in these few verses more fully what Jesus said to him at that time. Acts chapter 9, where that event is recorded, doesn't tell us all that Jesus said at that point. But here, the Apostle Paul conveys to us more fully what Jesus said to him. So in verse 15 of Acts chapter 26, it says, "Who art thou, Lord?" I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Verse 16. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among all them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And here, in the very presentation to the Apostle Paul, Jesus himself relates the subject of sanctification to salvation. The word sanctified means to make clean and to set apart. when you are made clean by the blood of Christ, you are set apart unto God. Go over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. In order to be set apart unto God, we must be made clean. We cannot be set apart unto God without being clean. And so he describes for us what the blood of Christ does for us here in Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll go to verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13, where he's going to draw a contrast in the two verses between the blood of bulls and of goats from the offerings and the sacrifices of the Old Testament and the blood of Christ in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? While he uses the word sanctify in the verse 13, drawing the contrast between the blood of bulls and of goats in the Old Testament and the blood of Christ in verse 14 in the New Testament, he's explaining to us essentially what it means to be sanctified as far as the cleansing part is concerned. That in being sanctified and being cleansed by the blood of Christ, our conscience is purged from dead works. All of those things that would plague our conscience and plague us with the sense of guilt because of all of the sins that we have committed, the blood of Christ purges all of that from us so that we can be clean before God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in that cleansing, we are then set apart, sanctified, set apart unto God, reserved unto him for his purposes. When I was a young child, we took a bath once a week. All of you children say, yay! We had to wash off in the sink every day, but this was from the old farmer days, I guess. My parents both grew up on the farm. We took a bath once a week on Saturday night and put on clean clothes. And in the summertime, we would take our baths before it got dark, so it's still light time. I was set apart from play once I was clean. I could not play after I had my bath on Saturday night because I couldn't get dirty because I was set apart unto church the next day. And so we would go, the only thing we'd do is sit around. So we'd go out on the front porch. We had two little steps on the front porch right on Market Street, just like Market Street here in York, Market Street in Frederick, Maryland. And we'd sit on the front porch and count the cars that go by. We'd each pick a color and see who could win, get the most colored cars going by. But once I was clean, I was set apart unto church the next day. When we receive Christ as our Savior, he purges us from the guilt of sin, makes us clean in the eyes of God the Father, and sets us apart so that we are ready to worship and serve God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. We are sanctified by means of the work of Christ on the cross. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. the thing that makes it possible for us to be clean and to be made clean and to be sanctified, set apart unto God, is the work of Christ on the cross. Verse 14 in the same chapter, down a few verses. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. Jesus Christ took care of sin on the cross. That is the means by which it was made possible that we could be made clean and set apart unto God. The Holy Spirit is the one who tangibly does the cleansing and the setting apart. Would you go over to Romans chapter 15 and verse 16? Romans chapter 15 and verse 16. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We are sanctified through, by means of, the offering of Christ on the cross. But we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit who is the one who does the actual cleansing and setting apart. You'll recall 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who sets us into Christ, sets us apart unto him. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, faith being an active ingredient. So we are sanctified by means of the work of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the sanctifying. But we are sanctified in Jesus Christ. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, where it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. It is in Christ, that is, in the body of Christ, that we are set apart unto God and reserved for his glory, and thus, because of Christ, treat it as being holy. Drop down to verse 30 in the chapter. Close the next to the last verse in the chapter, chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. We just need to understand how wonderful those words are, in Christ Jesus. In the New Testament, that phrase is used 77 times. In Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Some of the most wonderful words in the New Testament scriptures. In Christ. There are lots of places to be in this world, but the best place of all is in Christ. Have you ever gone to a mall and you go to the map, as you enter, there's a map there. And on that map, there's this little flag or red dot or something, and it says, you are here. There is a mark upon your life that says, you are here. Where is here? In Christ. That's where you are. You are in Christ. And the Holy Spirit has set you apart unto God in Christ because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He has cleansed you, purged your conscience, cleansed you of your sin, and set you apart unto God in Christ, so that our present state of being as Christians is that we are sanctified. That is the condition of our lives. Would you go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 32? Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. It's a perfect tense verb, which means this condition of being sanctified is something that happened in a past moment, but the effects of it continue. We are sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:11, ye are sanctified. Jude chapter 1 and verse, well, there's only one chapter in Jude, but in the first verse of the little book of Jude, we are sanctified. That is our state of being. We are set apart. We're made clean by the blood of Christ, and we're set apart unto God in Christ. That's where we are. We are in Christ. We are set apart by him. We are set apart in him. We are set apart unto him. We are set apart for his glory. That's initial sanctification that goes along with our salvation. But then there is a form of sanctification that is progressive in our Christian lives. Would you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, we find out that this is the will of God. This is what God wants. This is what God desires. This is what is in the heart of God. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Well, what does that sanctification mean in the Christian life? It says that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, and we all also have forewarned you and testified. It appears that there is something that we must do in our Christian lives to make sure our lives match our salvation. Now, our salvation is a condition, a permanent condition. You are saved. You are sanctified. But remember how we've been studying that life is kind of daily? Life is so daily. There is living to be done every day. And the things that we do every day in our lives should be compatible with, be suitable to, go along with the sanctification that we have been given in Jesus Christ. Would you go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. So he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. As becometh saints. Notice that word, as becometh saints. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, our lives are to be as becometh saints, that is, those who have been sanctified, who have been cleansed, who have been made holy in Jesus Christ. Here, our lives are the behavior, the mannerisms, the nonverbal communication of our lives, our conversation, is to be as it becometh, as it's suitable to, agrees with the gospel of Christ, which brought us to this place of sanctification. Becometh, to go with, to be suitable to. Husbands, did you ever have your wife come to you and say, does this blouse go with this skirt? Or wives, did you ever have husband say, does this tie go with this shirt? Have you ever seen people that wear clothes that don't go together? You know, big, bold, plaid shirt, big striped pants, fluorescent socks that clash with everything else. So, that man needs a wife to help him dress. Those things just don't go together. Do you know there are things that we can do in our daily lives that just don't go with the sanctification that we have been given in Christ Jesus? They don't go with it. So he says, you're sanctified in Christ. You have been cleansed. Your conscience has been purged. You've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. You've been set apart into God and placed in Christ. Now, the way you live your life ought to agree with that. You have this wonderful position in Christ of being sanctified in Him. Now live lives that are also characterized by that sanctification. This is a present and continuous process. And there is some personal responsibility in this regard. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I guess we ought to get the context here. Start up in verse 16, where he says in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God is sure, standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? There are some things that just don't go together. Verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, he says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Verse 1 of the next chapter. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He says, because you are my people, because I have sanctified you by means of the work of my Son upon the cross, through the agency of the Holy Spirit, I have set you apart unto myself in Christ. Therefore, you have a personal responsibility as one of my children to make sure that you do not include in your daily living things that do not go along with that sanctification. Therefore, he says in Romans chapter 13 and 14, put on ye the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But of course, it takes our cooperation with the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish this. We cannot do it entirely on our own. Of course, we have that personal responsibility. He says, purge himself, cleanse ourselves of these things, but Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, you know it, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's like two sides of a coin. I use that illustration a lot, but it's kind of interesting. You can't have the head side of the coin without having the tail side of the coin. Did you ever see a one-sided coin? Now I know you can have a coin that has heads on both sides. That's counterfeit. We can't have a one-sided coin. And there's certain spiritual truths that just go together. If we have been sanctified in Christ, the moment of our salvation, then we must live sanctified lives. And we have personal responsibility to do that, but we can't do it without the assistance of the Holy Spirit. We must yield to the Holy Spirit in order to be able to do that. So we have initial sanctification, we have the progressive sanctification of our Christian lives, and then finally, his ultimate sanctification. And I'm just going to simply say that ultimate sanctification is exactly the same thing as glorification. The two are exactly the same. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. When we see Christ, he's going to change this body. Are you happy with the way your body is now? Anybody want to change? Do you know this whole, this world is obsessed with trying to make their body healthy, attractive, strong, pleasing to everyone. So much emphasis on the body. We should put the emphasis on who we are as a person in Jesus Christ. And one of these days, the body that we have now is going to be totally changed. This body will become totally irrelevant to everything. And we will be glorified in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. How wonderful it will be to be glorified. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you never had to take a bath again? When I was a young child, I often thought that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you never got dirty? You stayed clean all of the time. You didn't even need to use deodorant because you smelled great all of the time. You'd save a lot of time, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, one of these days, we will be glorified in our bodies. And we will never sin again. We'll never have to worry about the contamination of a momentary sin in our lives. It will be all gone. We will be totally, once and for all, forever sanctified. No more sin, no more wrong, no more tears, no more frustration. We will be righteous all of the time. We will be spiritually clean all of the time. In salvation, Christ delivered us from all the consequences of sin. He sanctified us unto himself. In the Christian life, Christ gives us the power through his Holy Spirit to resist the temptation to sin. And he expects us to pursue sanctification every day of our lives. But someday, Christ will remove all the motions of sin from our lives, and we will be fully and completely and entirely sanctified unto him and in him for all eternity. So, folks, we should live our lives now as people who are sanctified, so that even while we pursue sanctification on a daily basis, our being set apart unto Christ and in Christ would be evident to everyone around us. They should be able to see that we're not the same anymore. And we're not the same as everyone in the world. We've been set apart, cleansed and made holy, in and unto Jesus Christ. And the way we live our lives agrees with that entirely. Are you sanctified? If you're born again, the answer to that is yes. The question is, does your life as a believer agree with? Is it becoming to the sanctification you have in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift to be cleansed from sin, to be set apart in Christ unto you. Help us to live our lives on a daily basis out of such gratefulness of heart for what you have done for us, that each and every day people can see that we are indeed sanctified in Christ. I pray in Jesus' name.